Welcome to Scary Stories, the channel that tells you scary stories.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard. Number 1.
Savage Night of the Man-Beast, as told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. Ribber. I'm going to tell you a story you won't believe, and I wouldn't believe it either if you told it to me. I'm going to tell you a tale about a werewolf or wolfman or dogman or skinwalker or something that stalked me, hunted me, terrorized me, and tried to end my life. But first, I need to explain a couple things. This is a story about me as a young man. I'm not this way anymore, but I can't deny how I was back then. I'm not proud of a lot of that, but it's not like I did any of this by conscious choice. I was an animal following instincts. That's also why I'm in no place to judge the actions of the vicious man-beast who nearly killed me. We were both merely following our biological imperative. The reason I met that monster had to do with this woman I met at a party I crashed on the edge of town. She was the curviest girl at the party and also had the prettiest face. In those days, I usually ran into one kind or the other, but this girl was everything all at once. Judging by her clothes, she had come directly from work, and her work was something in an office. Her clothes were flattering, but clearly a bit worn, so she was more likely in the typing pool than in management. I don't remember what she said, but I remember watching her full and perfect lips moving, so she must have been saying something. And I must have said something back, because I was soon leaving that party and taking the hottest girl in the room with me on my arm. Out of my car, I started the engine and drove in the opposite direction of her neighborhood. Don't try this at home, kids. I was an expert at the time. I drove to a lover's lane I knew of nearby that had seemed secluded the last few times I'd taken girls there. This time, however, when we arrived, there were already three couples parked there. So I kept driving. And driving. And driving. After a while, I had no idea where we were, but it was dark and it was secluded. There were no street lights, and I hadn't seen another car for a few minutes. "Oh, no, do you hear that?" I asked. "Hear what?" she answered back. "The engine. It's making a noise. I'd better pull over." I pretended to mansplain while pulling off the two-lane road and parking in the utter darkness of the dirt alongside. The only lighting came from the dashboard. I put in my seduction cassette, and I want to say maybe Barry White or something like that would have started playing. I was smooth, but I was also obvious. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Don't you have to get out of the car and check the engine?" That's when our entire world began to rock, and to roll, and to spin around and around and around as my car tilted sideways to the right off the edge of the sheer incline I had unwittingly parked next to in the dark. We tumbled down, spinning over and over and over. Each time we were upside down, our heads would bang against the car ceiling, and when we would be right side up, we'd bang hard against the windows, the dashboard, and each other. Empty beer bottles I had forgotten were in the back, smashed and cut us all over, and kept cutting us more times with each tumble the car took down the hill. My entire life flashed in front of my eyes in sequential order, including events I'd forgotten completely, and I found I judged myself as lacking in character. I accepted that I was about to find out what death was really like. Somehow, we were both thrown clear of the car, which landed upside down, smoking, and was clearly never going to be driven by anyone ever again. I hurt too much to be dead, and so I began the task of pulling glass shards out of every part of my body that I could reach. I was cut up pretty badly, and I soon realized my biggest worry from the injuries I had sustained was that one of these cuts might get infected. I started giggling like a kid, and I couldn't control it. I was just amazed I was still alive. "Hey, Henny Youngman, when you're done laughing at how funny this is, can you give me a hand?" I suddenly remembered someone else existed in this world besides me. At that age, it was very hard for me to retain that bit of information. She was stuck under a big, thick, heavy branch that the car must have knocked off a tree as we fell. I couldn't tell how badly she was injured yet. For whatever reason, probably the shock and the awareness that I was now living on borrowed time, I felt great empathy for another person for the first time in my life, and I rushed over to lift the branch off her. We both pulled glass shards out of her skin, but fortunately she, like me, was mostly uninjured. The shock had hit her harder than it hit me, and she was shaking somewhat violently. "I need to ask you a very important question," she stuttered. "What in God's name just happened?" That was a good question, I realized. "Well," I began, wondering how to mansplain this one, "I guess we must have parked too close to the edge and the weight of the car caused us to fall over the..."
"But what was rocking the car?" she interrupted.
I stared at her blankly and she continued.
"Before we fell, the car rocked back and forth like we were being pushed off the edge."
I stared at her, thinking back. I had thought that it was us causing the rocking, but it seemed rude to say that now. I figured I'd better be a man and take control of the situation before her imagination got the better of her. Standing up, I grabbed her hand and lifted her up as well. "Come along, little miss," I condescended. "Let's get this pretty little princess back to her fairy castle before midnight." I started toward the road, but she resisted and pulled back.
"Look," she shouted, and then screamed at the top of her lungs in terror.
I turned my head in the direction of what she was screaming at, back on the road where we had initially parked. There, I saw the silhouette of what can only be described as a werewolf. I couldn't tell its color, markings, or features as it appeared pure black in the shadows lit from behind. What I could tell was that it was standing like a man, but it was not wearing clothes as a man would. Instead, it was covered in hair or fur like a bear. I wondered if it was a man in a ghillie suit, but it had a head more like a dog or a wolf, with tall ears standing up on top of its head. Those ears were clearly real as it bent them back and the upright dog began to growl at us. My lady friend wept openly and shook in shock and fear. The animal took a step toward us and my girl screamed at the top of her lungs. The wolf howled back at her, then launched himself from the road in our direction. Our fight-or-flight instincts pumped our legs faster and faster, deeper and deeper into the forest, as far from the dog man as we could get, as fast as we could get there. We fell repeatedly. I know I was getting dizzy from getting up over and over and running straight into branches at full speed, then getting up all over yet again. I can only imagine what the girl was feeling, yet her fear carried her even faster than mine carried mine, and she was wearing heels. When we saw the cabin in the woods, she jumped headfirst through the open window without even knocking first. She reached over and unlocked the front door for me before even wiggling the bottom half of her body through the window. Inside, I closed the heavy wooden front door and bolted it with the two large heavy bolts it had built into it. I looked around for a light switch, but the entire cabin was one room with a fireplace that looked like it had been sealed up many years ago. The floor was dirt, with bits of old garbage around here and there. Nothing we could use as a weapon, though. I noticed that the windows all had heavy wooden shutters, which also had sturdy metal bolts to lock them shut. But they were not shut, and we needed to change that situation fast. "This place has been under attack before," I said, "and that's a good thing for us. Quick, let's close and bolt all the..."
Bam!
a freaking tree came smashing through the window that my girl had wiggled in through. A 2-foot-wide tree now entirely filled the window and was lodged 7 or 8 inches deep into the dirt inside. The girl was back to screaming incoherently now, so I left her cowering and shuddering on the dirt floor and bolted the other 3 windows shut while I still could. The tree, now inserted at a 45-degree angle through the front window, began to shake violently as I realized the dog man was trying to extract it. I guess so he could blow our little piggy house down and have us for dinner? He had done too good a job, though, because the tree was stuck. Even all the strength of that inhuman monster out there couldn't budge the tree, and was going to stay exactly where it was, probably for a long time. The frustration of that drove the creature into a frenzy, and it raced around the outside of our forest prison, banging loudly against the sides and making terrifying noises. I don't know how long this kept up, but I remember that we both just held each other and cried for what seemed like eternity as the thing tried to get in. Must have gone on for hours, banging, screaming, making sounds of horrible-sounding violence of some unknown sort. More banging, more howling. Then everything got quiet, and we waited and waited. And then the birds started singing, and light began to leak in around the edges of the tree in the window. This caused us both to laugh. We laughed as we helped each other off the floor. We laughed as we helped each other unbolt the front door. We laughed as we saw the row of trees knocked down. We laughed as we helped each other back to the road. We laughed as we walked for hours back to town, and we were still chuckling as we checked ourselves into the hospital. In the light of day, we couldn't discuss this insanity with a straight face any longer. The happy ending of the story would be that this event changed me permanently and that I straightened up and became a good guy right then and there, marrying the girl and becoming a mature, responsible member of society thanks to Dogman. But the truth was, I lost touch with the girl quickly. I've never seen her since. And I fell into a dark, withdrawn, unhealthy period for 5 or 6 years after that. I did eventually pull myself back into the world of the living, and these days, I'm fine, thank you. But I've been diagnosed with PTSD, and nothing ever went back to the way it was before we were attacked that night. Not so sure that's a bad thing, though. I had a perfect life, and what did I do with it? I squandered it, and used my charm to seduce and use innocent people. Now, I'm severely limited by phobias and trauma, but my life is devoted to helping others and adding something to the world instead of just taking away from it. In some ways, I'm much less of a man than I was back then, but in other ways, I'm much more useful, and I'm able to be supportive of my friends. Dogman to me is not evil, as many call him. It's like saying nature is evil, but nature is not good either. Nature just is, and the Dogman, it's part of nature's angry side.